Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. Oh, I'm Liz. Matt's here. Producer Brett is here. It's Liz Loza, Matt Harmon, and producer Brett Rader. We are all very professional and very excited to do this mid-July show, right?
Hell yeah.
Gentlemen?
Training camp season is pretty much here.
Liz, hey, I heard the drum beats happen in training camp.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that something that happens, Matt?
That's the thing that happens. And they crescendo throughout the course of the offseason, if it's something you should buy into, but you know.
And what are you referencing?
It's a new series that I'm writing for the website.
So Matt has that series. There's a lot of, oh my goodness. So also, we are a very self-aware group of humans here at, not Yahoo Sports, but this pod group a pretty self-aware group.
Definitely, let's not extend it too far within the company.
And I want to reference a mistake that I made last week and was horrified by, because last week, and producer Brett doesn't know I'm doing this, so hi, not on the
my
outline.
My best laid plans.
So I said last week that Golden Tate was going to average 7.2 yards per reception. When I said it, Matt's like face got funny, more funny looking than normal. And I was just like, what, why are you making a face? In my head, I didn't say that. And then I realized later on the next day, as I was doing some work and prepping for something we call Fearless Forecasts, I meant yards per target, not yards per reception. So, Matt, you're allowed to call me out and be like, I don't think that the best after the catch receiver in the league is going to average 7.2 yards per reception.
Well, I think
7.2 yards per target in a small ball offense does make sense.
Well, I mean, I think I just took it as, damn, Liz is really taking a dig at this small ball offense. And like, he's going to make like Jarvis Landry blush with his low yards per reception here. So really, I mean, the shock I think was less from like, well, Liz, you really screwed that one up, to more like, damn, Liz sticking the knife in the Giants one more time, which, you know, I'm always okay with.
No, it was yards per target, not yards per reception. And all will be fixed when we do record our Fearless Forecasts and release those. We're doing preseason Fearless Forecasts. I'm doing 10 running backs and 10 wide receivers for the entire season, what we think, assuming health, they will. And if it is a non-durable player, we will bake that into the equation as well. Matt, you are doing how many?
25 wide receivers. I mean, I'll tell you what, Liz.
You tell me.
You know, never mind. That's like a Southern thing to do. Like, tell you what, and then like not say anything. Be like, well, what do you tell me what? Like, I don't know. Anyways, I tell you what, Liz. This was the first week that, you know, like I said, training camp is here. It's what I like to say is like, this is the wave that pretty much takes you under right about now. And we pop back up in January, like where the hell the last 5 months go. But this was I woke up at one point this week and like looked at the ceiling and thought about all the things that I had to do. And I was like, oh no, I'm stressed. And like that, I haven't felt this way in some time.
Huh.
How you feel about the season coming? I'm excited, but also,
I don't know. I go through waves of like lots of excitement because I'll start digging into something and find equations. And then I'll also, when I look at the calendar of items, I start to feel a little bit of dread, but also I have been having so much damn fun in my off time.
Yeah.
That I think that's part of the problem. Like, I have so much to do because I'm not working on the weekends yet.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It is probably to the detriment of many other things that I continue to have this much fun, but
I'm still like, we're still
YOLO,
like,
man.
True. We're still like 9 to 5, you know, punching the clock. Like, all right, I'm off the clock. See you guys. Like, not working, you know.
Not answering emails after hours.
Yeah, not answering emails after hours. Certainly not working the phones. Certainly not writing articles, anything like that. I'm just like, I'm home. I'm not doing any of that. So, yeah, I mean, I think just, let's just put it this way. Camp is starting, Liz, but we might not be in the best shape of our lives.
I don't know. I have a Peloton.
You do have a Peloton.
I'm in pretty damn good shape.
Flacco appears to have like two Pelotons.
Speaking of good shape, people who are in good shape post on Thirst Trap Thursday.
Well, I mean, present company included.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking about you. You just said you're in great shape.
I mean, if you would go to @LizLowes_FF, there are some pictures that my mother was texted me about on the Instagram. So, you know, she was very much like, Lizzie,
You had a great trip to the beach.
I did have a good trip. It was multiple peach season. Trips. What can I say? You know? Also, I didn't take that picture. So let's talk about that picture was texted to me. So nice. It is Thursday. It is in honor of Thirst Trap Thursday. We are going to talk about some players that are that fantasy managers are too thirsty for. So, in other words, they're being overvalued. I want to start with, or maybe we'll determine, Matt and I will determine and discuss whether they're overvalued, but it feels like people real high on them. And for what? So I'm going to start with Green Bay Packers slot receiver, Geronimo Allison. It was confirmed per Rob Domofsky, who's the Green Bay beat writer for ESPN, that Allison's, quote, main focus is expected to be in the slot. Okay, that's great, right? But is he any good in the slot? I mean, are we going to – he's 6'3", almost 200 pounds, 196. He's only spent 12% of his time, admittedly because of Randall Cobb's presence on the team over the past 2 years. 12% of his snaps over the past 2 years, back-to-back seasons. Has he been in the slot? Also, last year when Cobb was inefficient slash hurt, it was MBS that manned the slot 41% of the time. So if you're looking for a big slot receiver, MBS was that guy last year. Again, Allison was banged up as well, so I'm sure availability factored into that, but do we care? Are we so sure that Geno is going to be that guy? I know that we want to go after, in theory, Packers receivers and the number two guy, but I don't know. Like, he's wide receiver 37 right now. You're getting him in the eighth round. MVS, you're getting a round later.
Yeah.
I would rather at that spot maybe take Larry Fitzgerald instead, who seems like a pretty intriguing value despite being 36 years old, or any of those drumbeat running back guys, like the Royce Freemans or the Ronald Jones, because I don't know where else you're going to find some running backs after that.
I don't even know where you're going to find them like a few rounds before that. It's
the fifth round, yeah.
It's gross from like fifth round to eighth round. But yeah, I think I'm with you that I would just rather take the cheaper one of these two, like from a bottom line fantasy perspective. And also, you know, it is interesting because MVS spent more time in the slot last year. But I also think, like, after going back and reviewing Geronimo for reception perception, I was like, this guy can't really play outside. Like, I know he put up some numbers last year, but I don't think he's that type of separator. So I think if he was going to play somewhere, it would have to be inside. And that just means that MVS, who I think probably does have the skills to win as an outside receiver,
has more versatility.
Yeah, the way I think he just more athletic, he's a better separator, has more theoretical upside as a player. So I think that's why you stick him outside, is that, you know, X flanker, move him around type of thing with whatever Davante Adams is doing. But I think there's a chance that just – I think there's a pretty good chance that just neither of these guys really matter.
They cannibalize each other too.
Yeah, they just really don't – neither one of them matter all that much because, you know, if you think about Matt – I don't like to go back and look at, like, oh, this is what this coach has done. Like, this coach – like, the number one receiver always thrives in the Shanahan-based offense. Yeah, well, that's because they had, like, Andre Johnson and Julio Jones. Like, no kidding, you funneled targets to those two guys. They're, like, legendary talents. I think Davante Adams is now, at this point, like, a legendary talent. I wonder if this just ends up being a situation where, really, we care about three players from this offense because none of these guys end up being good enough.
And those three players are Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Davante Adams.
And just no one else really matters all that much, at least from a consistent basis. But it's worth taking the shot that they do. And when you do take that shot, I'm with you. You take it. You take the cheaper one.
Do you want to go next?
Sure. I mean, I picked up plenty of freaking players I think people are too thirsty for. But my number one guy, I think, is Darius Geis, whose stock has kind of fallen a little bit. But right now, he's like a fifth. He goes – his range of outcomes is where he's going to go in and draft is pretty – well, his draft range is pretty wide. Right now, he's like listed places as like a fifth round pick. But when I've been doing best ball drafts and stuff, sometimes he can go in the seventh round or something like that. Because now there was some positive news today. They said his hamstring injury is not really a concern anymore.
But we can assume that it was the result of overcompensation from the ACL injury that had numerous setbacks to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not been like one piece of good news since he got hurt. Like there was the infection thing. There was all this other stuff going on. You know, also, like, by the way, Adrian Peterson is still there. Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson sometimes in best ball drafts goes in like the double digit rounds. I'm like,
he was the best value in drafts last season per the numbers.
Yeah, because like he was, I can remember sitting at a like a summer party last year doing a draft, and like this is when Adrian Peterson just visited Washington.
What kind of party was that?
I mean, it was at a mutual friend's house. Wasn't that cool? But so I was like, all right, cool. Let me, it's 14th round. Adrian Peterson, sure. He's visiting Washington this week. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those type of situations. But also, like, he might not have passing down work, Darius Geis, because of Chris Thompson. He might not have the bulk of the early down work. And, oh, by the way, this offense might be complete trash.
Like, it's the Trey Quinn offense, baby.
Yeah, like, we're getting excited about Trey Quinn because he could fall ass backwards into, like, 80 catches at 7.2 a pop.
That kid's good, though.
Sure. Cool.
Fine.
No. I don't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying, like, this is what we're talking about with this offense. It might be a really bad offense. You generally don't want to associate your running backs with bad offenses, and you definitely don't want to, you really don't want to have these two down early down running backs that don't have passing down work. And if they don't even have the bulk of that, like, Adrian Peterson's not there to just, you know, pick his wedgie or anything like that.
Well, he needs the money.
He's going to be playing. So, what are we, like, why would you even, at this point, why would you even draft Darius Geis? There's not, unless you, the only thing you could say is, like, I really liked him in college. But that is not a reason to pick somebody in fantasy.
Agreed. Especially given all of the stumbling blocks that he has had. And didn't we do a podcast when I got off the plane and somebody was like, are you thinking this is a nice value? I'm like, I'm not messing with the Redskins. Like, what do you, or the Washington football team?
Oh, yeah. The Scott Fishbowl. Yeah. Oh, man, you were, you were on fire on that one. But yeah, I mean, like, who do you want to draft on this team? Like, I will tell you, I will confess, I've drafted a little bit of Jordan Reed here and there because, like,
out of desperation, well, sure.
Because
in tight end premium.
Tight end premium, yeah. And like, it's he goes in like the 14th round.
So I'm going to have another a player that people are thirsty for, and it's Daryl Henderson. Because what the F has he done, yeah. Y'all?
Well, nothing.
Like,
he's a rookie.
He's a rookie. Like, that is the point. Like, what are you seeing? You are basically here's what I have. Okay, I get it. He was one of the, you know, how much I liked him heading into the draft. A really tough player, nice underdog grit to his game. He has some like speed to fly around the edge, and he's good in space.
Averaged almost
really
9 yards
of carry. Really productive in college.
Yeah.
The whole thing. But basically, his rise, his meteoric, it feels like, yeah. Rise of draft boards is in direct correlation to the fear people have surrounding Todd Gurley, cowards. And so I would say a little bit. But I would say, you know what's even more interesting than that? Is there another running back that's a rookie going 2 to 3 rounds later, who is running behind another veteran running back with knee issues on a run-friendly team? There sure is. His name's Damian Effing Harris, and he's going in the 10th or 11th round. And Sony Michel is not the most durable running back in the world. And guess what? And the Patriots are going to run the ball.
Just as juicy of a situation.
That's a whole ass
running situation that they've got there.
So I'm confusing Thirst Trap Thursday and Peach Season. Excuse me. So,
ass on the brain.
Anyway, it blows my mind that Daryl Henderson, hey, Malcolm Brown's still there. The Rams matched an offer sheet to Detroit to keep Malcolm Brown. I am going to throw out John Kelly's name, much to the detriment of my own.
I thought we were talking about relevant players.
But anyway, there is no sure thing about Daryl Henderson, and he is going in the 7th round. He's the RB33 right now.
It's aggressive. Like, I will say that I've, in that range of running backs, you know, 5th to 8th round, there's been a couple times when Henderson's gotten to the 8th or the late 7th that I have wanted to take that stab in a best ball situation. But I mean, if you're talking about guys here, you know, from that 5th to 8th round range, like, he's one of the few that could just end up being a stone zero. Like,
right. You got Rashad Penny at the same place. You got Latavius Murray. If you want to lean into all that, if you want to copy and paste, why don't you copy and paste some like Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray stuff? I don't think it's fair, but you can do that. Or reach for a wide receiver because you've got two of your boys, Dante Pettis and Christian Kirk, going around the same place there. I would just not mess with this position.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you like, I think the guy I'm like most excited about to take in this range is Tevin Coleman.
Sure.
Like, what am I doing here, you know?
I don't think that that's horrible.
I don't think so either, but it still could be it could end up being a very mercurial backfield.
Give me another one, Matt.
Oh, God. I mean, again,
one more.
Or two more.
You can give me two, whatever you want.
Let's go two more because this one I feel pretty passionate about. Austin Eckler, you know, he's like going into the seventh round range.
Oh, and this is such a knee jerk reaction as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
this is Kevin Ogletree.
Yeah. Like, do we really think Melvin Gordon's not showing up for game checks? I don't think so.
He's going to show up.
He's going to show up. And then when he does, you've spent a seventh round pick on a guy that you're never going to want to start. Like, you're never going to want to start. Like, he's going to have his weeks. We know that with Austin Eckler. He'll be in pretty much the same position that he was in last year when you're still kind of betting on big-time efficiency because he's been over 5 yards a carry 2 years in a row with explosive passing game ability. And, like, yeah, Eckler's a good pick, but not in the seventh round. I mean, again, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you can also get Ronald Jones, who's another one of those drumbeat players around the same place. But I think the lesson, we are doing this long mock, this never-ending mock, although I think it officially ended today.
I think it did officially end. Which, like, by the way, there's been several times in that mock that I've been like, God, where the hell are all the good players?
We all know them.
Yeah,
like, we all have our guys. Like, there was a moment that I was like, I could reach for Curtis Samuel here because, like, I know a blurb I'm going to write, but, like, Matt's going to pick after me, so I'm not going to, like, I like, gave him to you.
Thanks. I appreciate that because I'm like, well, I guess I'm taking Curtis Samuel here in the seventh.
I knew I was like, I want to take him because I know exactly what I'm going to say and it would make my life easier, but
I mean, I took Golden Tate in the 10th round and it was just like, God, I just bored myself with this pick.
Yeah, it's not great.
Not great.
But I think the lesson is what Matt has said last week and what we're reiterating today, which is rounds 5 through 8, like, you got to hit running back early.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, I love hitting we're writing these positional preview things, right? And I have the receiver one. Yeah, I haven't started yet, but we're supposed to be writing them for next week. It's tough because I'm writing the receiver position and, like, it does make sense to hit running back early because the pool dries out and becomes so disgusting so quickly. But I really love hitting the receiver position early because you can grab, like, AJ Green and plus, you know,
in
Stephon
the third
Diggs.
Round, though.
Right. So I guess the take is
you can still get Keenan Allen. People are sleeping on Keenan Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I guess the advice here is your first round pick. Even the first round, though, like, do you really want to take any of the running backs past David Johnson? I don't.
No,
I don't want to take.
I mean, I took Devontae Adams, like, at the sixth spot.
You and I are on the same page, I think, with Adams at, like, when you get to 6 through 8, that's who you're kind of hoping for.
Yeah.
Sometimes Hopkins, sure, but, like, not really trying. I guess, like, I'm so comfortable.
I'm not touching Kelsey, though. I'm really trying to avoid that. Okay. I haven't done it once. I mean, I get it.
I haven't either, personally, but I can see the
logic.
I can
see it.
I
just don't want to do it.
I'm not trying to take Le'Veon Bell. I'm not trying to take James Conner. I'm not trying to take Joe Mixon. Like, none of those guys I want to go in the first round. Not trying to take Todd Gurley. Like, yeah. So, to me, I think I want to get two wide receivers before leaving the fourth round. But if you go running back and then you kind of come back in the fourth round with running backs, it gets a little bit murky. You're looking at, like, David Montgomery. And I've taken David Montgomery a couple times in the fourth round. I don't feel great about it. But
if you're stuck taking a wide receiver in the first round, then you, like, I did that. And then I had to go running back to back. And so I ended up with Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette.
I don't hate that. We'll talk about Leonard Fournette in our next segment, but I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either, but it forced me to reach for Lamar Miller because I needed some stability.
Which, you know, no one wants.
No,
to be
I don't. I mean,
to
talk about
that.
Putting yourself to sleep.
Yeah, right. Snooze fest.
So, but. And I don't like reaching for a player to, like, force balance.
Right.
Anyway, it's a constant ecosystem. You had one more.
One more I wanted to say. And I know we both like this player a lot, so it kind of hurts me that I think I'm off him in fantasy this year.
Okay.
It's Kenny Golladay.
Sure.
Because, number one, I hate the offense. Really hate the offense. I like Kerryon Johnson, too, but I'm really not trying to take him. You know, Golladay is right now, you know, a fourth-round pick. In PPR or half PPR or whatever. And I don't really like any of the players in the fourth round all that much.
Brandon Cooks is available in the fourth round.
I'd much rather have Brandon Cooks than Kenny Golladay. I think I'd rather have, and then you get into this kind of question too. Like, do you want in the second, the round after that, do you want to take the high volume, maybe. In terms of target share, Kenny Galladay will probably be up there. But in terms of raw volume, maybe not so much. Do you want to take the number one in a most likely trash offense in Kenny Galladay that wants to run the ball? Or do you want to take the number two in a more high-flying offense? That would be like Chris Godwin in the following round. That would be like Cooper Kupp in the following round. Calvin Ridley, Mike Williams. Those are guys going in the fifth
round. I don't think Mike Williams is necessarily the number two
anymore. He's not a guy I'm drafting either.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, really? I like him, but not at his price.
Mm. I mean, I think he is the downfield weapon now for the Chargers. And if you look at Keenan Allen's production, who I still think is the wide receiver one, it's most of the like shorter stuff. And actually, Keenan Allen's plays over 40 yards have diminished a lot from 2017 to 2018. So he's no longer that big play guy because you've got Mike Williams. I understand that, whatever. We could get into this later, but I think you pose an interesting question. So Kenny Galladay, I am also off on, but to the earlier point, like Brandon Cooks is available there. Brandon Cooks, do you know, this was a fun fact, that he has averaged the same target share or same number of targets in back-to-back seasons. So even with Cooper Kupp out, his volume remained consistent. And it was Woods who saw the giant uptick, obviously because they moved him from the outside to the inside and back and forth. But like Cooks is the field stretcher in the offense. That's what he's always been since New Orleans, New England, Los Angeles. Like there are going to be some weeks that he totally bangs you, but I'll take that ceiling in a roller coaster, I guess.
And last year, I think, was by like unarguably his best year as a pro. From a raw stats perspective, from a play on field route running perspective, and I think a lot of it was just usage too. Like this was the first time in reception perception where you really saw him post, you know, numbers way out of the basement. And I think a lot of that is because of the routes that Sean McVay assigned him, which was to get the speed more in space, get the speed more on crossing routes, in breaking routes, as opposed to long developing outside routes. And that's not this. I'm not taking a dig at Josh McDaniels or Sean Payton in New Orleans, but I just think optimal usage wise, I think the Rams really found
it. And it was a maturation, it sounds like, as well.
It's very possible.
Oh, those Rams. They are looking good again, too. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's talk.
Hey, you just talked about the Bears last podcast.
I know.
And like, look at them trying.
They look at them trying, but then the Rams end up just being so stupid sexy. And I don't know.
It's tough.
It is tough, man. No proclamations. Just rooting for you who you want to root for, man. Can't be tied down.
That's right.
Let's talk about the weekend I had, speaking of not being tied down. was an interesting.
Let's talk about it. Why were you there?
Why? What do
Where
you
were you?
I was at Comic-Con. I was in San Diego at Comic-Con.
All right. I guess everyone else isn't keeping up with your life like I am.
I know we plugged your Instagram at the beginning of the show, but we, you know, in case a listener hasn't, you know, gone onto Instagram yet, say where you were.
I was at Comic-Con in San Diego. I took the train down on Friday and I returned on Sunday.
The train. How was that?
It was fine.
I'm a fan of trains.
I like trains. Like
I love the metro here in LA. You know, it's like when I get popped downtown.
Can we just quickly hit up Big Little Lies, the train set? Something just for my third week in a row talking about Big Little Lies.
But
and
she
train
hasn't
set.
Seen it.
I'm still wondering why people tell me I'm Reese on that show. So I don't know.
Just people who watch the show.
Well, Reese kind of has a nice
the train set is on my mind.
Yeah, I get it. That was.
The train set had one of the biggest arcs of the entire season of Big Little Lies.
Is Bonnie still there at the end? Because, she is annoying.
Let's go back to Comic-Con because, dear listener, we actually are tying this into fantasy football.
Okay. So I was at Comic-Con. Why was I there?
Why were you there?
I was there to see famous people. I hung out with Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's a true story.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I just was wondering. I didn't know if you went for work reasons or personal reasons or.
I was invited to go.
Brand reasons.
Oh, gross, Matt.
That's
super gross.
I'm just.
Why would
I'm
you ever
asking.
About me?
I didn't think so. That's why I'm like, why are you there?
I went there to have a good time. And
there
I did
you go.
Have a good time. But, Harmon, I did not see you in Hall H for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 announcement last weekend.
No, you did not.
I was stunned.
What do you mean? I'm not into any of this.
Bullshit.
What do you mean?
You're such a dork.
No, yeah, but I'm a dork, but not, this isn't my dork realm. I'm not into like the Comic-Con scene.
What is that to you?
Like the superhero movies, like video games, all that type of stuff. It's just not really.
I did discover that at E3.
Yeah, no, see, like that was enough. That was my one for.
I'm not great at video games.
We discovered that at E3 as well.
And I don't know much about the comic books. But I am excited that Black Widow is getting her own movie.
That's Scarlett Johansson's character, right?
Yeah, she's so hot.
Yeah, can confirm.
And the villain is going to be Taskmaster. And I bring up the villain because I feel like Taskmaster, by the way, I had to Google this in full.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I don't know what that means.
Is that me? Is that me just assigning research for the podcast? Your tasks.
No, the Taskmaster is a expert of mnemonic device. So he's able to pick up things immediately and then crush the competition with whatever that thing is. Like he watched one football game and then like became like the starting quarterback for his high school, you know, like.
So he's like that annoying friend of yours that just like is good at everything that he tries.
But like super powered. Yeah.
Yeah. I had my best friend was that when we were.
Evan?
No.
That's shout out to Evan.
College roommate, Evan. But best friend growing up, Andrew.
Anyway, I think that having villains is an interesting thing because we've talked before about hashtag burnt takes, right? Where players have fallen because you're like, no way, that guy hurt me last year, so I'm not going to draft them. Yeah. And so why are you grinning?
Because I appreciated you using this in the blurb for the mock draft on when you drafted David Johnson. I saw that and I was like, hell yeah, Liz.
Ugh, so gross. It's almost as bad as Frye.
Nothing is worse than Frye.
So I looked at these players' ADP, and I want to discuss with you, Matt, whether these villains of fantasy are worthy of redemption or, like, totally deserve to be buried.
And when we say villains of fantasy, because, as usual, Liz
I'm not talking about Tyreek Hill.
Right. That's what I wanted to make clear to the listener, is that, because, as usual, Liz, I believe this is your idea, right? The villains of fantasy. As usual, Liz comes up with a great idea, and then her dip...
Does not articulate it well?
No. I was just going to say, her dip co-host is like, what does that mean now? And then when you explain it to me, I'm like, oh, that's a great idea.
I'll tell you something.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. It's tell you what.
Tell you what.
Pause. What?
What?
What are you telling me?
So I'll tell you what. Corey Davis is the wide receiver 39. He's being taken in the 9th round of half PPR 12 team drafts. He is a wide receiver 1. Admittedly, on a team that is trash. And sure, he has disappointed since being drafted 5th overall in 2017. Part of that was injury. Actually, I would argue maybe all of that is injury, perhaps not just his own. For rookie year, it was his own. But then, you know, the nerve issues that Mariota had, Blaine Gabbert just sort of being like an injury in ethos and existence. And then the engine has not turned over here.
Yeah.
9 end zone targets, 4 touchdowns, 7 targets per game, 4 caught balls per week on average.
Yeah.
That sucks.
If you look, if like many times last year, I felt like if you looked at Corey Davis from a like percentage of team targets, percentage of team red zone, end zone targets, as you mentioned, average depth of target, percentage of air yards, all that, like the peripheral numbers were all like, this is a wide receiver 1 for fantasy, but the results never came.
Yeah, I think he was like wide receiver 27, 28 overall.
Yeah, just a guy you never really wanted to use. He had like one blow up game or something, or a couple of blow up games, but not much to speak of. And it's tough because I have found myself not jazzed. When you put Corey Davis on the list, it made me think, because when you see where he goes in drafts, I mean, he's going around guys like Kiki Cutie, Marquez Valdez Scantling, N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf.
None of those are number one.
Give me a break with these guys. Like,
right.
When we're talking about volume projection, Davis should outkick them all. You could even look at guys ahead of him, Geronimo Allison.
Sammy Watkins!
Well, I think Sammy Watkins is still is living off, like,
the Pre-Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
Which, like, if you... I thought about putting Sammy Watkins on this villains list as the guy who's burned everybody 100 times. Like, and is he worthy of redemption? And the answer would be no. Because, like, hey, if you drafted Sammy Watkins on the hope that he was going to be the number one receiver and when Tyreek Hill was gone, number one, joke's on you in a couple of ways, because obviously Tyreek Hill is going to play, but also you drafted Sammy Watkins on the hope that he would do something. And like Sammy Watkins at this point in his career, like, is what he is. So I don't know, but I actually compared Corey Davis to like peak Sammy Watkins coming out, like the 2015 version of Sammy Watkins, sorry, when he was actually good. I thought Corey Davis could be like that type of player. It just hasn't really happened yet.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey is going at the end of the sixth, right? Like, I feel like Corey Davis should be going around there.
Looking, yeah, yeah.
Next to Dante Pettis, Robbie Anderson, like that. If we're talking volume.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking volume, I think.
And he was the wide receiver 27 last year. Like, a wide receiver 30 to 33 space feels fair for Corey Davis.
So are you willing to take Corey Davis?
I ain't taking him.
Okay, so what are we even doing here?
Well, I'm just saying, like, maybe this is a flaw in my own being, right? Like, I'm already ascribing this player characteristics.
That he's average.
Right, but that's not, when you dig into the data, a fair analysis.
See, I think when you watch him, I think he's been an average player. But that doesn't mean he will always be an average player.
But average player, there are plenty of average players who produce in fantasy. This isn't an IRL comp.
No, I sure. And I just think then the problem comes down to...
stomach ability?
No, I think the problem comes down to what's around him. Like, if he was an average player in a good offense with a good quarterback...
There's a whole lot around him now.
Yeah, there's a lot around him. So all these volume projections that we're talking about, they might not even be true.
Do we think he'll see over 100 targets next year? This year?
I haven't done projections for the Titans yet, but I bet you I will not project him for 100 targets.
He had like 111 last year.
I think I've done league-wide projections, and I think I have the Titans for the least pass attempts in the NFL. Because they're...
You love Derrick Henry so much.
Because I love Derrick Henry so much, and they love Derrick Henry so much. They've said like they want to run their offense mm-hmm. through Derrick Henry. And why wouldn't... That's the one player you know on this team is good, is Derrick Henry. Also, Arthur Smith or whatever, the new offensive coordinator, has pretty much said, we want to be a run-first team. Mm-hmm. So I think that I believe them. They also don't have a good quarterback.
All right.
So there's so many ways you can talk yourself around with Corey Davis, so I guess we don't think he's really... He's probably going to outkick wide receiver 39 on the season.
That's it.
But not by much. Like, if you're looking in that range... I think there's a scenario, like we talked about, where, like right after the Alshon Jeffrey range, that's where like Dante Pettis and Christian Kirk mm-hmm. and like Allen Robinson are going. I think all of those guys have reasonable scenarios to way outkick their ADP. I don't think that Corey
sure.
Davis does.
Fine. Okay. Give me one of your villains.
So I'll go with my biggest name one first, which was Leonard Fournette.
Oh,
and
sure.
And Leonard Fournette, I think, is really interesting because he was bad last year. He was... bad and really pretty much bad when he played. I think he was, and then obviously we have all the off-field stuff. We have all the injury stuff, of course, all the things that naturally come with Leonard Fournette. But if we're talking about volume projection, like when he was on the field, they tried to get him involved in the pass game too. Like, he wasn't just a two-down banger. So now TJ Yeldon's gone. Yeldon was kind of the more established pass catcher of the two. They had that rookie that people are excited about who I think began the training camp on the PUP, Reichwell something.
Armstead.
Reichwell Arms, like NyQuil, Armstead or whatever. He's already put to sleep. Nailed it. So, I mean, at this point, like, I was asked on a podcast last week, like, are you in on the Leonard Fournette, like, rebound experience? And my answer immediately was, like, probably Ooh. Not. But the more I thought about it, maybe.
Maybe.
But then I think you have to ask yourself the question, same thing as what we just did with the Titans, like, is this offense going to be any good? Is this team going to be any good?
I mean, we know that their defense is going to be better than last year.
Yeah.
Okay. I can imagine a bounce back scenario for the defense. I'm not talking that they're going to bounce back to a top two no. or three squad, but there's going to
be a
rebound.
Top eight.
Their quarterback has gotten better. He may not be consistent, but he's gotten better. We've talked about Keelan Cole. Right. And how there were moments he owned Eric Rowe week two of the 2018 season.
That is a thing that happened.
That there's tape on it.
Look at the video. Dede Westbrook is pretty good.
Sure.
He's good at his role.
Yeah. Terrell Pryor can always splash his way in
Chris,
and out of it.
Your boy Chris Conley is there.
I was waiting.
Marquise Lee's back.
No, he's hurt.
Well, of course. I mean, of course he's hurt.
The white elephant?
Albino tiger.
Albino.
All right.
So Mark Heasley is hurt. But I think the key to Leonard Fournette is going to be his durability. Yeah. Are the soft tissue issues fixed? Also, it was at the top of last year. Like, there's a very likely scenario in which he's fine for the first month of the season, and then things go sideways, right? He could even make it through the first 8 weeks of the season. So, you know, the same is true for Dalvin Cook and Kerryon Johnson and other players who are being drafted in similar, Marlon Mack. Like,
he's a super volatile pick. And, yeah, I think that when you're thinking about guys you're clicking on in that same range, Mack, Devonta Freeman, Derrick Henry, Kerryon Johnson, Josh Jacobs, those are the other third-round running backs. I think Leonard Fournette is the only one of those guys that actually has access to, like, tier two running back ceiling. I don't know if the
in
other
his number
do.
Of probable
in
outcomes.
His range of possible outcomes. I don't think Henry has that because of pass game usage. Freeman, maybe. Mack, no, because of pass game usage. And Kerryon Johnson, no, because he plays for the Lions.
All fair. All right. Can I talk about one more?
Of course.
His name is Devin Funchess. He's the wide receiver, 54. 12th
round. Is he going after Paris Campbell or a little bit before?
Around the same spot. So the issue is, Devin Funchess, like, we're not sure he's been good, although he was kind of good.
In 2017, yeah. He was legitimately good.
So that did happen. And then 2018, like, things just blew up. There was no Calvin Benjamin. Like, things just went sideways.
Well, I think what happened there was they decided midway through the year, we're not re-signing Devin Funchess. Let's start getting Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore involved. And that just pretty much meant completely removing Funchess from the offense.
And phasing him out. And so now he's in Indianapolis, and I'm seeing all of these blurbs about how it's such a crowded receiving core. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, is it that? You got T.Y. Hilton, then you've got Deion Kane, who's not going to be back to health fully until mid-November, according to reports, right? Then you've got Paris Campbell, who's a rookie, and we're not really sure of his usage. And then, yes, you have like 1,000 tight ends,
yeah,
of which Devin Funchess is basically one at times. So I'm not quite sure how, Chester Rogers drew 75 flipping targets last year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Devin Funchess is. If we're looking for late round flyers, like, what do you want in a late round flyer? You want a guy who has flashed in the past, is attached to an ascending offense. The Colts threw the second most, or Frank Reich called the second most passing plays in the league last year.
Yeah,
and that's with an improved defense.
Right, because Frank Reich, I think, is a smart NFL coach. And, like, you know how normally coaches, when they have a quarterback who's injured or whatever, they're like, take the air out of the ball, we'll run the ball more. But, like, Frank Reich was like, no, what we're going to do is get the ball out of our quarterback's hand quick.
Real
we're
fast.
We're going to throw a lot of short
time
pass
to throw attempt. Stats were unbelievable.
Yeah, because when you run the ball a bunch, you end up in second and third and long, and then your quarterback gets slammed in those situations, as opposed to if you're matriculating the ball down the field and short at passing game. Yeah, what's up? There you go. They're right by each other, Devin Funchess and Paris.
They're going
Campbell.
Back to back.
I think this is a talk about drumbeat situations. Cool how I did that on the table. That you really want to, like, pay attention in camp to, like, who's the true one and two, the distribution here. Because I agree, like, Funchess could easily have a 700-yard, 5-6 touchdown season in an offense that very well may lead the NFL in pass attempts.
Give me one more. Are we done?
No,
you have a couple more or one more?
My other one is Marquise Goodwin at wide receiver 57, 13th round. Look, I think he's a good player. I think he's more than just a speed receiver, but even if he is just a deep threat, that's pretty valuable. We're all super excited about Dante Pettis. There's this giant gap between Pettis and Goodwin, but Goodwin, I think, heads into camp as the clear number two receiver here. I don't think there's competition from Jalen Hurd, from Deebo Samuel, and these guys. Like, I think they're going to play roles, but I think that Marquise Goodwin is out there as the number two receiver, which, you know, he's like the third or fourth pass catcher when you factor in George Kittle and the running backs. But, like, he's going to have weeks. From a best ball perspective, he's like the slam dunk double digit round pick, because you know he's going to have weeks. If this offense takes the steps that it should, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not that big. Like, if there's, I think the gap between the ADP of Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin will be wider than the fantasy finish of Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think, again, this is an injury dip, right? Like this is a lack of health dip. Yeah. But I do think
it's it's a hashtag burnt. He hurt my feelings last year because I took him in like the sixth round.
And he got hurt. And I think you bring up a good point, though. You charted him.
In 2017, yeah.
This is based on just my naked eyeballs watching. Like, not, I don't have a methodology about much of anything. But he looked like he had evolved as a route runner. And like he went from being an Olympic sprinter to a football player, to a wide receiver.
Yeah, and that chemistry, I know people will fall back on this analogy a lot. Or I mean, this analysis a lot. But the chemistry between Marquise Goodwin and Jimmy Garoppolo was legit.
Mm-hmm.
That was real. So, yeah, I think that he's a good bet to take in that range.
All right.
So, just bottom line, when we're talking about villains worthy of redemption, Corey Davis, sort of, kind of, maybe. He might have that heroic, like, you know how like a Darth Vader-type redemption where, I mean, he is redeemed for, like really.
Next year?
Like, really.
Like, many movies down the road.
Like, really, you know, he many movies down the road, or, like, you know, he has that 5 minutes of glory where he tosses the Emperor down and then he dies. So, like, sort of a redemption.
So maybe he, like, saves you in week 15.
Maybe I'm being too harsh on Darth Vader.
Also, he's a villain.
Also, like, by the way, Le'Veon Bell, like, if you're going to tweet out a Darth Vader quote, maybe don't tweet out the Anakin Skywalker Hayden Christensen, who is the biggest weenie of all time in that role. And, like, also, like, right after he says that, he gets his entire body chopped off. Not great, bro.
All right, so what?
I'm too cool to be at Comic-Con. Thank you very much.
You do have like a poster of Star Wars.
I have all three of the originals framed in my apartment. Which, again, very cool guy, Matt Harmon over here.
Devin Funchess. I think we are saying that this is an unfair villainy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Marquise Goodwin, kind of same thing.
Yes.
Leonard Fournette, though, are we?
Leonard Fournette is like Two-Face.
It's flip of a coin.
Yeah.
Harvey Dent style. Like, if Harvey Dent was here to flip the coin for us, if we were going to live, one of us is getting shot and the other is not.
But you're not into comic book movies.
Well, The Dark Knight, I think, is one of the best movies ever made.
Great. You want to tell me more about it?
Yeah. I mean,
Brett's like, no.
Heath Ledger kills it.
I would wager, Matt Harmon, that you know much more about dork culture, nerd culture, than you care to admit. And I would do it using the odds in Vegas.
Nailed the transition. Not the analysis, but you nailed the transition. I would just say, look, do I like to watch some of the movies and take in some of the media? Sure. But do I need to go to a friggin' festival or a convention about it?
Festival. It's not like Ren Fair. No one's going to Ren Fair.
I don't like large gatherings of
humans,
freaks in general, so I certainly don't need to be there for that.
You work in football. That and is, you know, a large gathering.
And let me tell you.
Let me tell you what, Matt Harmon.
FSTA or FSGA, whatever it's called. I'm not all that.
Matthew, one of us brought you Gatorade and Advil because you had so much fun.
Yes, but that was at the after hours when you can consolidate the group of people that you're around. But in terms of the entire, look, you know what?
You're a dork, Matt. Just lean into it.
Again, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that, like, I would never go to an event like Comic-Con ever. In fact, I had the opportunity to go with one of the dork boys here at work and said, hard no.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Well, let's talk about some divisional futures.
Let's talk about some player props we don't want to pass on because they're too good to pass up, Liz. How about passing touchdowns, Liz? I'm just transitioning us at a whirlwind speed right now.
So, most passing touchdowns in the 2019 season. I am looking at this list and now I'm trying to figure out since this is audio content. Convey to you, but basically the top five per Vegas assumed most plentiful passers will be Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, and then at number six, Ben Roethlisberger. If you look at the odds on these players, like, I think the best way to do this, like, also, it's interesting, right, that Baker Mayfield's number five, that Vegas is all in on this experience.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Baker Mayfield is QB5 by ADP, too.
For fantasy. But you look at Drew Brees, who's number 10 at plus 2,000. Oh, that's interesting, right? Like, maybe we always say that the people in the desert know what they're doing. So you and I had takes on Drew Brees that I know I got crushed for months ago because, like, how could you dare say anything about Drew Brees' efficiency and his arm and his age? Like,
who was crushing you for that?
You can't touch Drew Brees. Like, you can't touch him. And I think it's because people are still attached to this old thought of who he was, and they didn't properly watch the tape as his
old arm was falling apart last year.
He said it.
I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. What we saw late last year was a quarterback that looked like he was slowing down and the offense was becoming more run focused. By the way, this was a run heavy offense last year. So you're asking Brees if you want to take him really. Now, to be fair, I like drafting Drew Brees in fantasy because he's getting cheap. Like 9th, 10th round Drew Brees, maybe in a best ball committee situation, but I'm sky high on Alvin Kamara. I think he should be the first overall pick in fantasy
drafts. In terms
drafts.
Of the betting, though, Andrew Luck's at plus 450, and so is Patrick Mahomes. They're tied.
Yeah.
And then Roethlisberger's at 1,800, and Baker Mayfield's at plus 1,400. So I would say, if I'm looking at this, if I had $500 at my disposal, why don't I just spend $500 and know that I could end up making $1,400? 1800. If I put $100 on the top five each, I'm going to return on value here, and it's going to be a wash.
And if you also want the fantasy spin here too, of these guys, all of them are expensive except one, and that's Ben Roethlisberger, who is 6th on this list in terms of odds to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns, but QB 16 by ADP. So either the fantasy community is wrong about Ben Roethlisberger and what's to come this year, or Vegas is.
Maybe Vegas has more hope in his pass, in that Dante Moncrief drumbeat, baby.
And, I mean, that they would, I think there's a sense in fantasy, and I kind of tend to think this is true, that they're going to take the air out of the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that would lead to, obviously, less passing touchdowns, but historically, the Steelers have been one of the most pass-heavy teams in the NFL.
Vegas could be wrong. Let's look at most passing yards in the NFL. Same top five, but I thought number 6 was interesting. It's Jameis Winston with plus 1,000.
Well, different top five because Mayfield's out of there, and but Roethlisberger's up at 5 instead of 6.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like the funny thing is you would think that Jameis is like a sneaky wager here, but he's not. He's up there because I think fantasy community is buying in on Jameis Winston. Well, they're buying in the Bucs passing offense. I mean, everything is kind of cooking for this to be a pass heavy team. And Winston, I think, could, you know, mess around and like lead the NFL in passing yards, and that wouldn't be surprising at all. Do you have any kind of like sneaky ones on this list?
Well, I mean, that was my interesting one.
I think that if you want to really mess around with this here, I think Jared Goff.
Ugh.
11 at plus 3,000. You know who's not even on the list but is interesting? Mitchell Trubisky.
I mean, now you're just trolling me.
No, I'm not.
Jared Goff and Mitchell Trubisky, but, Loza. Those are your options.
Sorry.
What
about,
do you want?
Sorry about that. But I think that also, like, if you look at the Bears right now, and there's a couple different ways to look at it, right? Like, last year they were a pretty run-heavy team but an efficient offense. Because of their historically efficient defense, or especially turnovers. We all know that stuff doesn't
regress,
roll over.
Right.
Like, cool, you're buying in on the Bears, like, and their defense, tough, they're going to regress. It's just what happens. That is just the way it works. That stuff does not carry over year over year. If they really fall backwards, then they're definitely not going to run the ball that much. And then I think that this passing offense can be really good because I think they have really good weapons and I think they have a really good coach. Now, could that be sort of like some hollow passing yards from Mitchell Trubisky? Yeah, I think so. But I think just crazy odds. I mean, he's not even on the list here.
Mm-hmm.
I think just Mitchell Trubisky is a good sleeper pick at quarterback right now.
I think but I also think the position is so deep that you don't need to bother with it.
No, I mean, you're doing it only in like
two QB leagues.
Two QB best ball, whatever. Like,
I also don't think Jared Goff is like scoring 30 touchdowns this year.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but this is just yards.
This is yards, but yeah.
And that's just a situation like, hey,
he's
if they're
not
run,
a QB one. He's QB 14. He's QB 13.
Probably, but I think there's a scenario, just again, odds wise, where their defense is not that good. Their defense is more based on like causing havoc to the quarterback and creating turnovers and sacks. Their run game obviously is not going to be as good as it was last year. because Todd Gurley has a knee thing, and what if Daryl Henderson is not good? Like, they could just be forced to throw the ball more, and they do run a high volume of plays.
But did you watch down the stretch? Jared Goff, like, got the yips, yeah, like, no, nobody's business, and now that that clue is out for opposing defense. I mean, that's my biggest problem with the Rams, is that they made me feel a certain way, and then, like, when the lights were the brightest, they just couldn't do it. And that's, you know, like, such a letdown. But
problematic.
Yeah. Most rushing touchdowns in the 2019 NFL season. So the top four. Top two, very interesting. Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, and then Derrick Henry at number four. That is a surprise to me.
The God himself. I mean, if I think that they're going to lead the NFL in rushing attempts, Derrick Henry certainly could be a good bet to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns.
I mean, Vegas says it. So that I kind of don't want. I mean, this is an interesting way looking at Vegas to inform fantasy decisions, but he's above Nick Chubb. He's above James Conner. He's above Alvin Kamara. He's above Le'Veon Bell and Marlon Mack. And I love that Christian McCaffrey is at 10. Love yeah. that.
I mean, that makes sense, though.
Sure. But I don't think the average fantasy player would be like, no, he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the more I think about Derrick Henry, the more, like, I think he's just going to smash this year.
Rushing yards, same crossover. Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, Derrick Henry. Interesting that Vegas is not as bearish on Todd Gurley as the fantasy community.
No, they're not. You know who stuck out to me immediately on this list was number 20.
Miles Sanders?
No.
Aaron Jones?
Miles Sanders?
That he's on this list.
Well, that is interesting. Yeah, I know.
That he's number 17.
To me was Aaron Jones. Like, at 20, I think that's a really good bet. Plus 4,000 odds to lead the NFL in rushing yards. I was never all that jazzed about Aaron Jones previously because it's like everybody's like, his talent! And I'm like, who cares? Because he doesn't get all the work. But I think he's probably going to get all the work this year. And I believe in this rushing offense. I believe in his fit in this rushing offense. He has questions for sure, but at plus 4,000 odds, I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. My surprise was Miles Sanders at plus also 4,000 odds, ranked 17. I was just surprised he made the list. I mean, the Jordan Howard hate continues even in the desert. Anything else you want to touch on, Matthew?
No, I mean, the receiver ones are all pretty, like, standard to me. Julio Jones leading the NFL in receiving yards. Cool, he's going to do that again, plus 375.
Devontae Adams ahead of DeAndre Hopkins in terms of number of touchdowns, so they both are at plus 1,200. And then Travis Kelce, not even a receiver, expected to also at plus 1,200. So Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and Travis Kelce all at plus 1,200 odds to catch the most receiving touchdowns next year.
You know, I did think it was interesting that, like, in terms of most receiving yards, plus 7,500 odds, 8 and 17th on the receiving yards list was DeSean Jackson. Like, I'm like, hey, wait, whoa, DeSean Jackson, what year is this?
What year is this? It's 2019. We are heading into the 2019 season. We'll be back with more pod next week. Brett, are we going to two pods per week next week?
No, not next week, but the week after, starting on August 6th, a Tuesday. We're going to be twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays during August. And then once the games start, we'll be Fridays and Mondays. We'll be our usual, like, yeah, this usual sort of Thursday evening, Friday morning. We're not moving away from that.
Thursday evening.
And then once the season starts, we'll be coming at you towards the end of the games on Sunday night.
And Matt, you still have your rookie orientation pod.
Yes, rookie orientation is still available every Monday promptly, and it's exciting. I think it's cool that we're kind of winding the series down. Brett has taken a big role now and crushed it with our Greedy Williams episode, where Liz Loza was also the real star of the show.
Liz Loza was, like, one of the best moments of my editing career was editing the segment where Liz Loza was comparing Greedy Williams to Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, it was great. It was tremendous work by you two. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you for
Matt, for inviting us into your playground and allowing us to be part of
your vision. Can I make an announcement about podcast?
Not that stupid Facebook group.
No, a podcast related announcement.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Liz. Podcast related announcement. I was told today that you can now listen to all of your Yahoo Sports podcasts on the Alexa.
And yes. It's a skill. So it's in the skills part of the Alexa thing. It's called Yahoo Sports Podcast Player. I apologize.
That's okay. Yeah. So you can, I put it on the outline because Jonah was showing, one of our engineering masterminds here was showing me this morning. So I was like, oh, I'll talk about it on the podcast today. Because if you have an Alexa now, you can just have Liz Loza and Matt Harmon screaming at you from your Alexa about fantasy football and stuff.
And do you want to talk about this lovely Facebook group that you've created?
You brought it up.
Well, I was hoping Matt would edit that. I mean, not the other one. Brett would edit that out.
Yeah, we got a Facebook group. The fantasy.
I mean, you're pushing it real hard. So.
The Fantasy Football Survival Kit.
Only 359.
69.
Natch.
Nats, and now it's over 400. We've got in just less than a week now, we've got over 400 members. It's been fun.
And I would say follow at Matt Harmon underscore BYB, at Liz Loza underscore FF, and at Yahoo Fantasy. I think we'll have a cool live podcast at some point next week with some cool special guests.
Teaser.
Can't wait.
Exciting. Seriously, you people out there, you will be excited.
You can also call our voicemail if you want any sort of advice from us. It's 888-85-YAHOO. That is it, and we are out.